Here we are back worldwide over the internet through BBS Radio on this Wednesday evening. August? Yes, August 22nd, 2018. If you have questions, we have answers. I have not heard from Wynn yet, but I think that we will have Stacy.
Hey, everybody listening on BBS and everybody on our...
All right. There was something coming over the line over here. Well, thank you all for being here. This is, as usual, a simulcast with a conference call. We have some people here live on the call. And more to join in. Every time you hear a ding, there's somebody calling in. This 1 hour episode, we do the whole planet healing call, which is only accessible over the phone line. You can get information at wholeplanethealing.com. Welcome to the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
It's Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, everybody.
Welcome to the call, Don.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Hey, Heist, did you ever try that YouTube technique about activating your...
No, I have it on my list, but I haven't gotten to it yet.
On your to-do list? Okay.
Yeah, I wrote it down, so yes, thank you. Somebody else join in. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
It's Wynn.
Hello, Wynn. Welcome.
Hi, Wynn.
Where is everybody tonight?
Coming in.
Here they come.
Hi, Wynn. It's Jeannie in Citrus Heights.
Hi, Jeannie.
Hi.
Welcome, Jeannie.
Hi, hi. Thank you.
On that technique, I'll tell you in a minute.
Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Prudy in Nashville.
Hello, Prudy. Good evening. Welcome.
Hi, hi. Thank you.
Hi, Prudy.
Hi, Don.
We welcome you. Please say your name and location.
Positive greetings, live from Sedona. Good evening.
Welcome, Paul Raiden. Positive greetings to you, my friend.
Thank you.
Hi, Raiden.
Hi, Raiden.
Hi.
I was
going
to say all that I haven't heard. I didn't have any like spectacular results, but there were a few times I was stuck on an idea for something I was working on, and I did that, and within not too long, maybe a day or less even, I came up with ideas that worked.
All right, that's cool. That's good feedback. Welcome to the call. Please say a name and location.
It's Roger in Austin.
Welcome to the call, Roger.
Roger, I really enjoy those little things you send me.
Well, thank you. I know you don't have a whole lot of time to look at some, but I appreciate it.
Well, you know what? I look at them, believe it or not, it's kind of like I get a feeling for you from what you send. So I check it out.
I guess that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Well...
I don't know about that, Roger.
The only thing is, the elephants to taint.
What's that?
Did you ever read the elephants to taint?
No.
Didn't you send me a video of elephants to paint?
I might have a long time ago.
Yeah.
It's on Fred Burke, his website.
Something like that. They're...
A couple
years ago.
I mean, it's very cool. It's very cool, except supposedly they have to torture the elephants in some way. People were making comments about that, and I don't know. But the elephants are actually painting pictures of elephants with their trunks.
Okay? Yeah, I've seen it, yeah.
Suffering for
your mind. Well, I wonder if it's torture. I think they have fun doing it.
I have to study it a little more.
I heard they treat those elephants really badly, though, or overall. I don't know about the case.
It's in Thailand, and, of course, it's a novelty, and they sell the paintings. Did someone just come on?
I'm sorry.
Would you like to say your name in Oak City?
Yeah, I would like to say your name in your city.
Only if you want to.
Okay. I mean, we do have new people checking us out now.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Can name a location?
Hi, this is Jennifer from Greensburg, PA.
Welcome,
hi,
Jennifer.
Thank you, Heis. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Dawn.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, guys. Hi, Trudy.
And the next caller, we welcome you. Please say a name and location.
Hi, it's Francis calling in from Concord Martinez, California.
Hello, Francis. Welcome to the call.
Good evening. Francis. Thank you.
Hi. Hi, Francis.
Hello, I'm Terry from Dallas.
Welcome to the call, Terry.
Thank you.
Hi, Terry.
Hi, Terry.
And another joined in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Jane in Pennsylvania.
Hello, Jane. Good evening. Welcome.
Good evening to you.
Thank you.
Hi, Jane.
Hi, Jane. Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Hi, Jane.
Hi. That's Prudy.
Yeah, you can tell
yes,
Prudy.
Yes, it is.
I know your voices, yeah.
You have a very nice voice.
Thank you. Thank you. That's Jennifer.
I told her the same thing. Didn't I?
Yes, you did.
Did you? Yeah, you sound good.
But you know what? You sound very innocent.
You think so?
That's a good thing.
Are you as innocent as you sound?
No.
I was going to say, I wouldn't answer that.
None of us are.
I'd like to introduce you all to Irma.
Irma?
Irma?
Hi.
Come over here a second.
This is Irma.
I want you to tell these people what you think of me, okay? Wait a second here.
We had two more people join in. Welcome to you. Please say a name and location.
Hi, I just wanted to let you know he's one of the most interesting persons I've ever met.
Yes, he is interesting.
She's never going to be able to do her job again without blushing.
Is she a food?
Let me tell you where Irma is. Terry has been released from the hospital, okay?
All right.
Congratulations.
And not that she's better. Wait a second. I'm talking about you. Well, you got to go get another person, right? So Irma is a traveling nurse who came to visit Terry in the motel room. And Terry is going to be taking IV drips of antibiotics. And Irma was here showing us how to do it. There's a nurse on call, but then somebody has to do it for Terry.
Mm-hmm. And you'll do that for her?
Well, me or Susan Rush. You know Susan Rush? Do you guys know who Susan Rush is? You know, she's been coming into our calls for years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She just broke up with this guy, and she didn't know what she was going to do with her life.
Yeah.
So I said, Susan, why don't you come to Sedona and help us?
Get out.
So she did. She's here, and Terry likes her. Lo and behold.
I'm so glad. Wonderful.
And I like
that's
her.
Wonderful.
She's,
great.
And she's really smart, and she's just going to help us every which way, help us increase our cash flow. You know, the thing about it is, we have all this potential, but I've gotten to the point quite some time ago where I realized I can't make it happen. Everything.
Yeah.
I can just show up on calls and do them. But plus, we got a business and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's like, Susan, if it all works out, Susan will be a permanent member of our team.
Oh, that's
great. If she doesn't go running off with some other guy.
No guarantees there.
guarantees, right. You never know. But in any case, she's gonna help Terry. She's gonna be a girl Friday, doing what needs to get done.
That's great.
And, we've tried to use people in general that are not part of our group, and it becomes a nightmare because we're too weird, right?
Yeah, I guess.
So,
I guess.
And especially if you're doing a business, people can't understand why there's all these things you could do to make lots of money and you're not doing them,
Yeah.
And
you're only one guy. You're only one man.
I got a team. I got a team, but the team can't do things in the physical.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
Did you guys like Fred yesterday?
Oh,
I love Fred.
Good, yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That was terrific.
Maybe I can call Fred and coming into Whole Planet Healing once a week,
Oh, I would love that. I would love
that. Yes, I'd love it.
I mean, I've grown
Fred
to
really
be very, very impressed with Fred,
Yes, yes.
So, yeah.
He's in Alaska?
Oh, a couple of times.
He's in Alaska, yeah. I mean, he's been coming around our group for a long time. And it's hard to believe he does what he does,
Yeah,
I mean,
I know.
So,
it's amazing.
But as much as I've checked him out, he's really doing it. And he's got battalions of angels that he dispatches to people's properties to clear the properties. Right?
I love that part of it. That was great.
Clear them, right. And, it's in his own way, he may not be as cute as Kimberly.
Well, we don't know that.
It depends on what your orientation is.
Right.
They've been to the depot a couple of times.
But he doesn't do these miraculous healings, not at this point. But he clears properties of attachments.
Yeah.
And he goes in with a whole battalion, and in a day, things shift for people. And I've checked him out, and I'm convinced he really does it,
Oh, I think he does it.
And I love the message that he delivered last night, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. He's always like that. He gives you these wonderful things to think about,
Yeah.
He's great.
I did a transcript of everything that he said last night, so if anybody wants a transcript of it, you can send me an email, DeanieJudd@AOL.
Oh, okay.
And it's beautiful how we're starting to create a team of people in this realm who all have different talents, and that don't compete with each other. That's the stupid thing about this realm, is people compete, and then...
Competition
and
everything.
Right. And Stacy, who was on last week, answering questions, really enjoyed herself, and I think she couldn't come tonight, because she had an appointment. But I'm sure she'll come again. And, I've known her for years, and she does this counseling using bringing angelic energy to corporations and high-profile people. And she's been earning a living. She has a beautiful house for quite some time. And, she's very, very, angelic.
When you could tell that when she came on the line, as soon as she started to speak, I sensed that. Oh, my goodness, she's like an angel. That angelic, like Terry has that.
Yeah.
I would say clear and bright.
Mm-hmm. So, in any case, we are slowly but surely getting it together.
Hey, Wynn, this is Dr. Art. What is Fred's last name? It was on last night.
Fred Brooks.
Brooks, okay. I thought maybe I'd talked to him before, but I haven't. Okay.
This is Jane. What was Jeannie's email? I missed the call. I would like the transcript.
JeannieJudd@AOL.com. It's J-E-A-N-N-I-E-J-U-D-D.
J J-U-D-B?
J-U-D-D, like dog. Double D, like dog.
Oh, Judd. Okay, Jeannie Judd. Yep. J-E-A-N-N-I-E. Thank you.
Like Ashley and Winona.
I got your message, Jeannie. I'll call you back. Okay.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
Well, probably not tonight because we got two calls.
Oh, no problem.
I'm on the East Coast, so it's 11 o'clock. So
yeah, late when we get to
that. Yeah.
Yeah. I got to do a replay tonight because Terry is out of it, okay? I mean, she hasn't channeled for a while, and I'm not going to push her until her energy is ready, you know?
Yeah.
And
I think it takes a lot out of her, doesn't it? Because
last few times before
she got really sick, you had mentioned that how exhausted she was after channeling.
Yeah.
Probably because it sucks all her energy out of her body.
Well, it does take a lot out of her, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and,
it does too.
And I mean...
Not till she's ready, Wynn. We want her back healthy.
Right. When she... This was really, really bad, this one, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, we...
Yeah. Scared you.
I really was crossing my fingers that she was going to... get through it, you know?
We could tell.
And right now I think she's on the rebound. But today was the first time we went to a restaurant, actually, and she ate at a restaurant, you know? And she walked in with a walker, and normally, up till now, you know, if she goes in and out of somewhere, they need a wheelchair to bring her in and out, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so she'd use the walker all the way, and she was doing really well. And you know what? She had to go to the doctor today. She had a four-hour appointment. And you know, when we left Sedona, we didn't prepare for anything. I put a few of her clothes in a bag, but I didn't put any T-shirts. And she says, "I need a T-shirt," you know. And when she gets to the hospital, they put her in a robe. So this morning at 6:30, okay? This morning at 6:30, I went to the supermarket to see if I could get a T-shirt for her, right? And they said they didn't have any T-shirts. And then I went to Home Depot, which was also open that early, right? And I said, well, maybe they have a Home Depot T-shirt, you know, that they sell to people, right? And so I went in at 6:30, and they said, no, they didn't have a Home Depot T-shirt, okay? And then I kept asking, and then they sent me to the manager. And then the manager said, oh, I got some promotional T-shirts. I'll give you one.
Oh, awesome. You got one for free.
He gave me a T-shirt for free. It says Bear Pro or something like that, right? And then we went to the doctor, and this was like a serious doctor trip because they put her on an IV. This is where she took her her cancer treatment, you know, the Rituxan, and it seems to be working. The doctor, you know, see, the deal is, you can kind of tell whether it's working by her white blood count, because her white blood count was 1.3, and today or yesterday, maybe it was yesterday, it was 1.8. I don't mean 1.3. I mean 0.3, okay? So it was really low.
Yeah, that's really low.
And that means she has had no resistance to infections. So she was getting filled with infections, including pneumonia, okay? And
well, her body just wasn't fighting anything. She was a target for any germ out there.
So the nurse today that came here, she's taking I'll tell you, when they checked her out the first time, there's no way she should have been checked out that time. And if I didn't stay here and check her in again, it would have been all over. I don't think that would have been it. Okay? So this time they're giving her antibiotics, they're checking her for infections all the time. They're giving really a lot of stuff. And I'm learning to accept the medical industry and how it works and letting it be the way it is.
Sometimes you have to.
Okay.
We
just started. This is October 24th. And
I'm going to do a replay tonight. And this is from October 24th, 2012. And I have no idea. Huh?
Love you.
By the way, Wynn, on a couple calls here just recently, you said it was June. It was the right day, but you put the month as June rather than August.
We did do that. Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
You're two months back.
I'm glad I had people. Sorry, Art. Thank you for correcting me.
I just wanted you to pay attention to it. That's all.
Yeah. Okay,
because I know someday you're going to put that stuff together. So you'll have two calls for that day.
This is August 22nd, 2018, right? Yeah. Usually, it saves it with the right day, no matter what I say. In other words, calls that they're saved have the right day in front of them. So that always just will confuse me. I'll never remember what you said by the time I'm listening.
Yeah, right. I know that. Yeah.
You know what? When we first started doing this, we had like 10 or 20 calls, and I said, "Oh, I'm ready to come out and put another book together." And then, it's kind of like the Edgar Casey material. You know, we kept coming out with more and 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 more stuff, right? And it got so expansive, huh?
Now there's years.
Yeah, there's years of stuff, and it's so expansive. I mean, we have covered. I mean, you guys really, what have we covered here? We have figured out how the entire universe works, how the negative works, how the aliens work, how the universe was created, how to connect with the highest things of the universe. I mean, it's
about the Anunnaki coming down in their spaceships to pick up the gold.
right. And you don't have to take any one piece of it. The whole thing creates a whole huge overview of the nature of life in this realm, okay? Terry, I'm gonna start this replay. Terry, you have anything you want to say to these people? They keep saying they love you. She's a little tired from her drip today. They give her Benadryl, which is a sedative. You know,
it makes you tired.
And it makes her tired. So, but she did really good. You know, she went and after the drip, we actually went to this restaurant here where we always used to go with Terry Friedman. It was his favorite restaurant.
Aww.
And, it's called Picasso's. And it's organic Italian food.
Ooh,
and yeah. And someday we're going to have to do a retreat. You know, I'm just afraid so many people want to come and they won't be able to afford it, but we'll have to do everybody getting together and meeting each other because it will strengthen the group at this point, you know?
That would be so lovely.
Yeah.
The world broke.
At a nice resort, right?
That'd be great.
But in any case, I'm going to do a replay. Hi?
Yes.
This is like, what do we got here?
Don't you just want to keep it an open mic, Win? And because we're halfway.
Because what?
Because we're halfway in the time already. And it's good to have some live action.
Oh, you like live action, huh?
I like live action, spontaneous. You know, right now already we've been on the road for 25 minutes and people are talking and I think it's a good gathering.
You know what? It's kind of amazing. We don't even have to start, do we?
That's right.
Well, I better start the recording here. Okay?
This conference is being recorded.
This is August 22nd, 2018. You've got questions. We've got answers, except not today. let me just see here. Occasionally, I try to answer questions, and sometimes on some of the questions, I do okay. And as you may know, Terry has been in the hospital, okay, for about, how long has it been now? It's been like probably over 2 weeks, right? Maybe more. And she was just released today, and we're still in a motel in Phoenix near the hospital. And I'm just kind of making sure she doesn't have anything that makes her go back to the hospital. But her indicators are she is doing better, and she thinks she's doing better. And she says, I can see myself making it, right? And I think she'll be more cooperative in the future. You know, how many of you guys have ever read about St. Catherine?
I did.
Did you know St. Catherine was one really stubborn woman?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was.
Did you know
very
that?
Strong, very strong-willed.
Yeah.
But she looked like an angel, like Terry.
Yeah, she was. Well, you know, it's kind of amazing when you are in my position, and I get to know who various people are, and it's so clear to me there. It's an observation that. Let's see if I can put this into words. They're the same person with a different outward expression. When you read about them, when I read about them, you know, it's the same inner person who is there. And it is amazing to experience this, okay? Like, here is one. See, I know Jim was Raymond. I can feel the resonance of it. I can feel that they sent Jim to check out on Catherine. And you have to go into the mindset of everything. They sent Raymond, who I'm sure was Jim, to check on Catherine. And he was an official of the church. And he got around Catherine, and he knew she was legitimate. That life, this life, he couldn't figure it out. It was too much for him. He didn't believe in God this life, okay? So he with Catherine, he became her companion and confidant and traveled with her everywhere. And then he had the plague, and Catherine was by his bed praying for him, and ended up, he didn't die. And then Catherine and Raymond would, she didn't eat very much, so she and Raymond would do the Eucharist all the time. And that was her food, okay? And then when Catherine died, Raymond wrote her biography, and he did such a good job that he became sainted for it. He became Saint Raymond. And in his lifetime, see, that was one life. And you would think the next life, the next life, the next life, these guys would all be continuing to be spiritual. But they weren't. And they go back into regular, mundane things. There has to be a particular set of circumstances that causes the higher realms to speak through somebody. It's not just that the person is special. It's that the circumstances are such that they can get it out into the world in some way. That's a, you know, very specific observation. People think somebody's talented or gifted, but you know they're not taking into consideration these guys on the other side are making choices. They don't want to waste their time. If they're going to start talking into this realm, they want to do it to someone, or not only just someone, to a situation where it can manifest and do something. So the fact that she was in the church, and she was a Catholic, and the church was getting corrupted, and they could take this opportunity to speak through her and make the local church pay attention. And then the more attention she got, the deeper they could go. Just like here. You know, if you notice the caliber of information that's been delivered has gotten increasingly more sophisticated. Like, they couldn't have done, hang on a second, who's making all that noise? Let me see here. There we go. We got, did it. They could not have brought through that session on DNA, most likely when we first started, okay? It had to be after we accepted them, and they could go deeper, and they wouldn't infringe on our free will. You see, if they just, like, give book learning stuff, here's the truth, you study it, that is, like, infringing on free will. Do you guys see that?
Yes.
Yeah, because they're telling us what to believe, but we can't validate it. So it has to ramp up so they can give deeper information that we're able to absorb without having, you know, to just believe it blindly. And even stuff that, like the DNA stuff, you know, I don't think you can validate that, but intuitively, it just makes sense, a huge amount of sense to me. Lots of the stuff intuitively makes sense. And what reason would a negative source have, or anyone, to give that in kind of information as disinformation? I can't think of any. But in any case, I was going to read, you know, when you hear about St. Catherine, So Raymond was around St. Catherine, and she was doing all this stuff, and at the same time she was anorexic. So when Jim comes around, what does he do? He just wants to cook for Terry. And he says, you know, I mean, he was driving me crazy. See, I didn't know this when he came in. It's like, you know, he came, he didn't have any place to live, and it looked like he was a gigolo, you know. And he would be going in, "How are you doing, Terry, dear?" And did you eat? "I love cooking for Terry." You know, and when I read the whole St. Catherine story, and I saw the picture of Raymond, and he looked like Jim, I knew I had scored an accurate thing. You know, he came from a wealthy family. You guys have heard Jim. He sounds so erudite.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Oh, yes.
And,
yes.
You know, and it's like, if you read about him in St. Catherine's time, he came from a wealthy family. He was going to be a lawyer. And somehow he decided to be a church guy, right?
Wow.
And it is unbelievably fascinating when you read, you know, the history, when you have these historical figures that you can read about how they were, and then you think you know them in this life. You know, it's not just a matter of, like, exalting Terry because she was a saint. It's because you see how she functions in this life, okay? Here, I'll read a little bit of St. Catherine here. In the context of medieval life, we now consider the life history of St. Catherine. We will trace quickly some of the significant phases of St. Catherine's life then and present some considerations that are useful in better understanding the relationship between her problems and those of actual anorexia nervosa. She was born in 1347 of a large family. Her mother had 25 pregnancies, one half of which were carried to term. The daughter of Jacopo Benacasa, a painter. Her mother, a strong woman of decisive and practical character, as well as an atheist of considerable physical strength, always had a strongly competitive and intrusive relationship with Catherine. The intense relationship with Catherine must be considered according to the fact that she was the only daughter suckled by her mother and that Catherine's twin died immediately upon birth. Challenged by her mother, Catherine chose to make everything in life a hardship, wishing to be acknowledged and to be confirmed by her mother in that choice. Quote, "I wanted to see you, mother, as a true mother, not only of my body, but also of my mind. I think that if you loved my mind more," hang on here, "if you love my mind more than my body, your exaggerated tenderness would die, and you would not suffer so much to be deprived of my corporal presence. In fact, it should be a consolation to you to think that I have a special relationship to God, so you should want to support my suffering." Okay, so Catherine related that she had to live her life as an ascetic and suffer in other people's views. At 7 years, after a vision of Christ while returning home after a visit to her sister, Bonaventure, who was happily married to a rich painter who was rough and brutal, Catherine decided to deprive herself of this flesh, of all flesh, as far as possible. When her mother insisted that she eat, she secretly began to throw meat under the table. According to one guy, this conflict with her mother was interpreted as a sign that Catherine, still being a child, was beginning already to develop the capacity to draw on her true internal strength, which she derived only from her personal relationship with God. We're able to conclude that there was always present the expectation that her mother, Lapa, should demonstrate faith and understanding of Catherine's religious choice, which Lapa, however, did not even minimally acknowledge. In fact, at 12 years old, the intense animosity between Catherine and Lapa was confirmed when Catherine was preparing her first appearance in public as a signorina. What is that? I don't know. With the help of her sister, Bonaventura, to whom Catherine was deeply attached, she was able to present a clean countenance and make up her face, as well as color and curl her blonde hair. Catherine was torn between being a good daughter sister and being a rebel. She feigned acceptance, but beneath the surface, secretly conserved internally her vows and project of virginity, which were to organize her adolescence. At 15 years of age, we find a significant event. Her sister, Bonaventure, died in childbirth. Lapa, her mother, was always preoccupied with the well-being of the family, talking openly about the possibility that Catherine would marry the widower of her sister, because this match to the rich painter would guarantee the economic well-being of the Benacasa family. The conflict became very intense, aggravated also by Catherine's sense of guilt for the death of her sister, Nana, less than 1 year old, whom Catherine had come to think of as a substitute for Bonaventura. It is in this circumstance that it is possible to confirm the actual definition of compensatory anorexia. Reinforced by the personal pact with God, Catherine entered into a battle with her family. She lost half of her proper weight and opposed the demands of Lapa by fasting, which confirmed her true dedication to God, and renouncing her corporeality. You know what corporeality means? That's your body. Nevertheless, the intervention of Don Tomasa of Plante, the local priest to whom her parents had sent her, felt the analogy was sending to a psychiatrist in similar situations today, the local priest was able to get Catherine somewhat to desist. In response to injunctions from Don Tomasa, in the name of God, to take food at least once a day, Catherine began to vomit with every attempt. God did not make me eat to correct the depravity of my throat. I pray in order to return to eat, but it is his wish for my expiation this way. Don Tomasa was uncertain whether to call her a saint or a madwoman. The possibility that Catherine was fed by demonic possession derives from the fact that her wasting appearance corresponded with hyperactivity as well as great physical and mental strength, which made Catherine continue in her determination. Is this interesting, guys?
Yes,
very much. Yeah, very interesting. Yeah.
I have already given you sufficient testimony of the reason that guides me, in order that you may understand, but in respect to your confrontations, I still have not spoken. However, today I have broken my silence and intend to open up my heart to you and declare without fear of contradiction that I have made my decision. I have not given in since yesterday, and I have maintained my decorum until now without yielding or regret. Today it should be easier to render a stone soft as wax than to tear me away from my determined heart. The time has passed for you to fight it. I advise you to give up every plan regarding my marriage on earth, because at this point, you will receive no obedience from me, because it is to God that I owe obedience ahead of other men. Then if you want my consent to continue to live in this house, make me your humble servant. I would be happy to lend myself at my best. If instead you send me away from you because of my vow, this will not change my intent. My spouse is sufficiently rich and powerful that he will not deprive me of anything and will provide for my every personal need. After 2 years of this tough stance by the family, the father finally took a position, for the first time taking a position against his wife, who was always dominant in the family, told his daughter, fulfill freely your vow and do what the Holy Spirit guides you to. No one torments our daughter more than the man she truly loves. Go and serve your spouse in peace. Catherine was enclosed in her small cell in her bedroom and began self-flagellation and did not eat or sleep in the face of the anger and desperation of her mother, whose opposition confirmed her incomprehension. Also, friends of the family influenced Rapa, saying that Catherine was mad or bewitched, feeding upon the doubts of her identity. Catherine continued to battle to be recognized within her family. She was able to enter a convent in the militant order of Mantellite in spite of her young age. However, rather than close herself off in a convent, she obtained her own role in the order for helping the sick in the hospital of Santa Maria and then returned to her family. She then pursued a strategy of virtual death by making a promise that she would enter the order of Dominican priors on her deathbed. The day after, she was cured of guilt and returned to the hospital to help the needy. At 21 years of age, Catherine lost her father, Jacopo, who died with his daughter constantly by his side. Feelings of grief came down upon her as if by a sign from God. Jacopo Benicasa represented the Spirit of God, and at that moment, Catherine, exhausted from prayer, was struck by an intense pain in the side, the same place in which Christ was stabbed by the Roman centurion. In this way, she was convinced that her father had been received into the glory of heaven. Then, receiving guests at the funeral, Catherine was smiling in contrast to the cries and laments of others. After the death of Jacopo, the Benincasa family was broken up, and Catherine had to go temporarily away from Siena. She enlarged her field of battle and dedicated herself to the church. Her objective was the return of Pope Gregory XI from Avignon to Rome. Apparently, the Catholic Church had done a split-up at that point, and there were either two popes or there was some controversy. And so Catherine got very involved in this. She continued then to state, so great is the need for salvation of men that she had not the time to think, let alone to touch earthly food. And all those days she took the Eucharist, she continued to fast, so as not to cause scandal. She sometimes took a little salad, fresh vegetables and fruit, but would then turn around and spit them up. It was as if the case that she swallowed just a single morsel, the stomach did not let up until it could not regurgitate anymore. The incessant vomiting gave her so much pain that her face was almost bursting. On occasion, she would go away with one of her friends and prod her throat with a stick of finocchio or with a goose feather until it was thrown open, depending on how much she had swallowed. And this she called doing justice. We do justice for our miserable sins, she liked to say. She defended the new pope Urbano V against the Avignonism of Clement VII, always with energetic militancy and decisiveness against those who opposed her. More suffering and more fasting were her strength and her way to impose her will. However, resistance continued in acknowledging and sharing in her cause. The return and attitude of the Pope and of other ecclesiastics were for her a source alternating between hope and disillusionment. They added to her doubts and so caused her fasting to become more intense. She decided not to eat anymore, imploring they should concede that she carry on her shoulders the errors and evils of the Church and of those who govern it. And at the same time, she declared herself guilty for not always being able to understand how to respond to Christ's expectations. That she thought she was deceived by others or deceived about God added to her conflict and accentuated her anorexia. For 3 months, she was closed up in her cell, taking only a few drops of water, doubting her life could shine forth from a series of errors. The doubt continued to her death, accompanied by uncertainty and a sense of her own sacrifice. So great was the presence of her mother, Lapa, that she traveled from Siena to Rome to give Catherine recognition and to wish her well. Catherine turned to God and said, "You called me, O Father, that I should come to you, and now I come. I do it not for my own good, but only to relieve you of your suffering." Holy anorexia may be interpreted as a response to social structure factors and the patriarchalism of medieval Catholicism. It is significant since St. Catherine made her choice in adolescence, a period well known to be one of opposition to the family, which seems to repeat almost exactly the stereotypical view of adolescent rebellion. Moreover, a strong and competitive maternal figure existed who wanted to guide her daughter into a role of high social approval. Meanwhile, the father moved on the periphery and left direction to the mother. In this sense, he was a disappointment to his good daughter. Holy anorexia became a singular mechanism for autonomy and a way out of the destiny prescribed for her by her family and society. In order to follow this and a way out of the destiny prescribed for her, and in order to follow this logic, we need to understand, therefore, all the relevant forces that operated upon her, and not to look to supernatural causes, unless they are actually forces perceived by her during her entire life. There remains, nevertheless, the need to understand this rebellion. So also, for St. Catherine, here and there, she received confirmation and recognition, but never completely. She was always trying to understand her oscillation between illusion and delusion by putting herself constantly in doubt about her real strength and perseverance to continue her hyperactive religious mission. The possibility of disconfirmation came to her not from confrontations with others, but only with God. Only God did not deceive her, and only with him could she consent to let go of her intense emotions. From him, she received, after not a little harvest of proof, the guarantee that she would never be deceived or abandoned. Included in this was the constant necessity of total control of her body. To yield to food was to yield to sin. To deceive God, to lose all the power that she had laboriously garnered, erasing the sense of identity gained from the victory over her opposition to family regulation. Okay, so in any case, to go the totally anorexia. And there have been times that I have known Terry where she wouldn't eat and she would throw up when she ate. And this article didn't talk about Raymond, but Raymond was with Catherine while this was going on. And then Jim discovers her and says, eat this, eat this, eat this. Okay, time for Whole Planet Healing, 6:54. Read about St. Catherine. It's very interesting. There's, you know, there's thousands of pages on St. Catherine. And, you know, there's her personal life and also the channeling she did. And it's very, very interesting since you've all gotten to know Terry pretty well. And you're all part of Terry's support system. And you know what? It's kind of like if you get what I was just reading, you get the idea that it's very important for Catherine to be acknowledged, that she didn't get acknowledged by her mother. And she did all this, and she was even unsure of it. So, you know, all of you are playing an important part in how this all works. Just by acknowledging Terry, this is not a normal, as you probably figured out, not a normal New Age channeling experience. So on that note, we'll end this call. Say goodbye to everybody and go to Whole Planet Healing. Okay? So are you guys still there?
Yes.
You still there? Okay. We'll see you in a moment. And
lines are open.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you, Wynn.
Okay. Did you mute everybody, Hayes?
No, I did not. The lines have all been open, except a few.
Yeah, I thought so. Okay. Yeah, okay.
So WholePlanetHealing.com, 712-770-4340 is the phone number. 250-513 is the access code, starting in 4 minutes. Wynn, thank you, Terry. Thank you, everyone.